What has the Course in Miracles given to you over a period of now almost 40 years? And the answer basically is pretty much that where I am right now, I don't have a lot of things that I plan for in the future. In fact, I don't have any dreams anymore, any goals. And I said, you know, I even asked that question to Regina when she had that excellent session in Vegas about moving the pendulum. As soon as you move the pendulum one way or another, it's going to swing back. You know, how does that work when you're building an organization? Because there are goals, there are things you're looking to achieve. And somehow that question was never answered there. So maybe you want to take some time and answer now. I'd love for you to answer it if that's what you want to do, Regina. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Dov, I would love to. In fact, you know that this is the time when I usually come in for meditation. But today, as I sat down in the chair, what I felt was that today we would do what was most important. Like if I was to put it into words, you know, the way people in the Course community speak is they say, Holy Spirit just told me that today we're going to do what's most important, but I didn't know what that meant. I mean, that's what just happened. I sat down in the chair, you know, at a scheduled time when I lead a meditation, and there was a feeling that I was going to be surprised because today we were going to do what was most important, and I didn't know what that meant. So maybe we're going to get to a meditation, but maybe we're going to spend some time, you know, just asking questions and answering. But actually, that's a perfect example of the answer to your question. Right? That's a perfect example. Because this is a time that is scheduled for meditation, right? And we do meditation in the sanctuary, at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Because that was requested on the survey, but not only because it was requested on the survey, because the truth is meditation is one of the most important things we can do. It's not the only important thing we can do if our purpose is awakening, but it is one of the most important things that we can do. And it's one of the best habits that we can cultivate. So here we are, a sanctuary, based on awakening together, so it would only make sense that we would spend time in the sanctuary in meditation, since that's one of the most important things we can do. And yet, even though this time is allotted for meditation, one of the most important things we can do, when I sat down in the chair today, there was this spontaneous feeling before I even came into Pal Talk. It's just when I put my butt in the chair. There was a spontaneous feeling that we would do what was most important to do today and that I was going to be surprised. That's an example of having no goals. And that's how Awakening Together started. It's very difficult for people who still think and believe their thoughts, plan and believe their plans, desire and believe their desires, right? When that's still happening within a person, it is almost impossible to look at a person that doesn't operate that way and see that they're not operating that way. This is what projection is all about. Projection is seeing out there what's going on in your own mind. And so if you are a person who thinks and believes your thoughts, plans and believes your plans, desires and believes your desires, then certainly you're going to look at someone like Regina who's doing so much stuff. I mean, my God, this Regina person works all the time. And you're going to look at Regina and you're going to think she's doing all of that. And I understand that. I do understand how some people see, because I saw that way myself once. But if you're a person who has learned to let go of that, let go of believing, I'll call it, If you're a person who has learned to let go of that, then what you learn from your own direct experience is that happening continues. The mind can be completely clear, and by the word clear, I mean empty. Clear and open are really the same thing. Open. Open. Not decided. Right? Open. A mind can be completely clear, completely open, and happening still happens. Speaking still happens. And so that person looks like they are thinking and believing thoughts. They are planning and believing plans. They are desiring and believing desires. Now, this Regina person is not egoless, and I've never came in here and claimed to be egoless. In fact, this is why I say I am not awake, because to me, awake equals egoless, right? There's nothing less than egoless that means awake to me. And I know all kinds of people will say awake, 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 but I still have ego. And some people even say awake, 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 but ego has to be here or you couldn't even be in a world. I already know that that's all not true. These are people that just haven't transcended those thoughts yet. There is such a thing as egoless, no ego, ego death. And when one experiences that, then they are awake. And before then, they are not. And I'm very clear on that, so I never ever get confused and say that I am awake. However, if we imagine a sky for a moment, and a sky that is filled with clouds, right? Filled with clouds, which would be thinking and believing thoughts, planning and believing plans, desiring and believing desires. There may occasionally be a little break in between the clouds because nobody's ever 100% ego. That's impossible. But we'll call it 99 or 98% ego. That's the average person in the world. That's the fully sleeping person. That's the person who's lost in illusion, right? When we get on this spiritual path, if we begin to practice this spiritual path, what we're really doing is we're letting go of thinking and believing our thoughts, planning and believing our plans, desiring and believing our desires. We're letting go of that. And as genuine letting go happens, there are less and less clouds in the sky. And as you get to less and less clouds in the sky, you get to more and more clarity. Now remember, clarity is not a particular thought system. Clarity is openness. Clarity is nothing, like the blue sky without the cloud. That's what clarity is. So clarity is not thinking and believing thoughts, desiring and believing desires, planning and believing plans. Right? Thinking is openness. And in that openness, spontaneity happens. Like today when my butt sat in the chair and I was told we were going to do what was most important today and that I was going to be surprised. Right? Okay, so let's go back to the original question, the pushing of the pendulum. And first, I'm just going to give a brief teaching for those who weren't at the conference or haven't listened to the audio and doesn't know about the pushing of the pendulum. So let me just give a brief teaching. This just comes from my interpretation of the Tao Te Ching, and I will confess it is my interpretation of the Tao Te Ching. So if you go speak to a Taoist, they may say, huh? Just like I have my interpretation of the Book of John, and if you go to speak to a Christian, they're going to go, huh? All right. And when I say my interpretation, by the way, let me be clear. That's the interpretation that comes through having no interpretation. That's the interpretation that comes through openness. The interpretation that comes through clarity. Right? It's the one that is received, not thought up and believed, or learned and believed. So I actually trust my interpretation of the Tao even more than a Taoist who has studied the Tao and learned from masters, and it's all at the head level. I trust that which just came when I sat down and I said, I don't know what this means. And then something began to teach me. Just like that's how NTI was written, right? I don't know what this Bible means. And then something began to teach me. So here's the interpretation of the Tao that I was given. Imagine a pendulum. Now, as you all know, if you push a pendulum to the left or to the right, either direction, if you push the pendulum, it's going to swing back in the opposite direction to an equal degree. Well, let's go ahead and define the right, like if you're pushing the pendulum to the right, let's define the right as perceived good, not true goodness. True goodness only happens when the pendulum is still. But let's call it perceived good. It's what you think is good, right? So when you push that pendulum to the right because you are trying to achieve perceived good from thinking and believing your thoughts, planning and believing your plans, desiring and believing your desires, and I'll even add judging and believing your judgments, right? That's what we call self-will. When you are trying to achieve good based on that, you are pushing that pendulum to the right. And you may even achieve your good. Those types of goods are most definitely achievable. That's why diseases have been healed and wars have been ended, etc., etc. True love has been found. Right? All of those goals can be achievable. So you could push that pendulum and even achieve your goal. But when you let go, that pendulum is going to swing back in the opposite direction to an equal degree. So that's why for every disease that is healed, another disease is born. For every war that is ended, another war begins. For every problem that is solved, a new problem is born. And you can do this forever. This is the swinging of the pendulum. And just one really nice example right now in politics, in American politics, you know, we have this Donald Trump person running for president. And from the very beginning, when he announced that he was going to run for president, try and get the Republican nomination, from the very beginning, there were people set on making sure that didn't happen, right? This is their perceived good. Their perceived good is now called Never Trump. It used to be called Not Trump, but they've increased it. They're pushing the pendulum even harder to Never Trump. What's happening? What's happening? To the degree that they are pushing that pendulum trying to stop Trump, to that equal degree, he's actually winning. See, they're getting the opposite effect. They would have done better to give him no attention at all. If they had given him no attention at all, he probably would have just faded out. The interesting thing about the still pendulum is that the still pendulum is natural goodness with a capital G. Natural goodness. When we do not get involved at the level of self-will, natural goodness is the energy that moves in the world. Natural goodness still moves bodies. Natural goodness still makes mouths speak. There's still activity. Things still happen. Natural goodness still corrects, but it corrects without self-will. Therefore, there's not an opposite reaction. A still pendulum has no opposite, right? The still pendulum. Still pendulum is absolute good. Not human ideas of good. But absolute good. And the absolute good comes about when we stop thinking and believing our thoughts, planning and believing our plans, desiring and believing our desires, judging and believing our judgments. When we are clear, when we are open, We have no ideas of our own of how things should be. When we are satisfied with what is, then that corrective, absolute goodness, which brings things back into harmony, back into the still position of the pendulum, moves through us. And it looks the same on the outside. It looks the same as someone desiring and doing it because they want to, right? But it's not the same. And the person who knows it more than anyone is the one being moved, because the person who's doing it knows, I did not ask for this. I did not think about this, right? I didn't do this. And again, where humans get confused is that humans think and believe their thoughts, plan and believe their plans, desire and believe their desires, judge and believe their judgments. That if you still do that to any degree, whenever you see yourself doing that, your job is to focus on letting go of that. That's why A Course in Miracles says that forgiveness is your only function. That's what it's talking about. It's not your function to start new things from your ideas of what should be. It is your function to let go of your ideas of what should be. But even as you do that, the body still gets moved. The mouth still moves. I have said a number of times that I had no intention of starting Awakening Together. I never had a thought. There was never an idea in this Regina brain, someday I will become a minister and start a church. That's laughable to me. That is laughable to me. I never had such a thought. Therefore, to say that I did this, that I'm setting goals, and that I did this is ridiculous. However, at the same time, because the guidance for Awakening Together came to me through clarity, through openness, through not wanting anything in specific, I am very clear about what Awakening Together is to be. Which means that sometimes when other people come to me with other ideas that really are not what Awakening Together is supposed to be, I say no. And then they perceive me as being willful, as exercising my will. I'm not. I'm following directions. You know, like just yesterday we had a meeting, Lynn and Jacqueline and I had a meeting. And I said in that meeting, because there was some talk about having intros and outros to the beginning of every program, you know, kind of like you might hear on Unity Radio. And I said to them, I said, I was not guided to start a radio station. I was guided to start a church. You see, I'm clear because it came through clarity. And so when other people start getting ideas that are kind of moving off in a different direction, it's very easy for me to say, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not what we're supposed to do. But it's not because I'm exercising my will. It's because I'm following the instructions that I received through clarity. Right? So, when we let go of our self-will, stuff happens. When some people let go of self-will, they sit on a park bench for 2 years and do nothing, like Eckhart Tolle. And then suddenly one day they're moved and they're writing books and they're teaching and they're becoming very famous and very rich. But believe it or not, and I know this for a fact, from my own direct experience, for that person, we'll call it a person, although that's not true, but still, for that person, Eckhart Tolle, there is no difference at all inside between sitting on a park bench and doing nothing and traveling all over the world teaching and writing books and becoming famous and becoming rich. No difference at all. Sitting on the park bench would be the same, just as good. That's called no self-will. Now, the reason I had difficulty starting Awakening Together, and I did, like the first few people that I had to tell that I had guidance to begin a church, the word church, I would get like an upset stomach. Like it was really, really hard for me to even say those words. That came from the fact that I'm not egoless. That came from the fact that the Regina person did not ever want to do something like that. She never wanted to start a church. So I had to let go of Regina even more. Let go of her desires and believing her desires even more in order to start Awakening Together. And in fact, this Regina person has been let go probably, I can't say 100% more, because a lot of letting go happened in that relationship with Laurent. It would be it would be quite a challenge to put me in another situation that enabled so much letting go. But probably at least 45%. That's the number that's coming to my mind. 45% additional letting go has happened because of Awakening Together. Because of being put back in a business-like situation, which I had been out of for years. Being put back in a situation of working on teams, which I had been out of for years. And learning, when I was put back in Awakening Together, put back in working on teams, some of that old professional Regina came back because it had never been healed. Professional Regina was not healed in the relationship with Laurent, right? That wasn't needed there. Professional Regina was not healed sitting at home alone in my house listening to the words that created NTI or the words that created Inner Ramana. So professional Regina laid there dormant and untouched from the time that I was guided to quit my job at PHCS until Awakening Together started. When Awakening Together started, the very first thing I noticed was that professional Regina was emerging and that she would be the next challenge, the next letting go. And the biggest challenge of all for me was the trustee meetings. And I'll be perfectly honest, it's because I think maybe things are changing now, but the vast majority of the trustees, if not all of them, had no idea about how to be empty and clear and follow guidance. So the trustee meetings were nothing but opinions. Opinions upon opinions upon opinions upon points of view and arguing. And those meetings were so difficult. They were so difficult for me. And I would always have to leave the meeting and sit and be still. Just sit and watch. Sit and let go. For a long time now, a few months, I don't know how long, I have not seen professional Regina emerge again. I won't say yet that she's dead. I usually wait much longer before I say that someone is dead. But I haven't seen her. And I have noticed in me, and I have told you all this, just in the last few weeks, a new shift. Not a shift into awakening. Not a shift into egoless, but definitely fewer clouds in the sky. And I know this shift has occurred beyond any doubt because I see how I see. I know the clarity that I am seeing from. And I know that it is, for lack of better words, 100 miles higher than the clarity that was there in mid-March. That also means there's less self-will. Because those clouds in the sky are self-will. Those clouds are in the sky are thinking and believing thoughts. Planning and believing plans. Desiring and believing desires. Judging and believing judgments. And I don't know how many of those clouds, no one could ever judge that, but a bunch of those clouds in the last month have been taken away. And as a result, I am now different. The way I see, the way I act, the way I spend my time. One way that you know a shift has really happened is that it changes you. Not the real you. The real you never changes. I'm talking about the person. But the person does everything differently. Sees everything differently. If there's no change in the person, there has not been a shift. There's been maybe a new mental understanding. But there has not been a shift unless there's a change in the person. And this person has changed significantly in the last month. And I have observed her and I've watched her. And it's not waning. It's not fading. It wasn't like a temporary mood, right? And if you guys listen to me carefully, you'll hear it too. Because you will hear me probably the way that you would hear it is that you will hear me be much more direct without any anger or intent to offend. But, you know, like last night, someone came into the room and said something that was not correct, right? Not correct. It was an incorrect interpretation of A Course in Miracles. It was simply not correct. And when I took the mic, once upon a time, I wouldn't have done anything about that. And from my personal will, I still would not do anything about that. I want you to know, we're not talking about personal will here. From personal will, I still would not do anything about that. But when I took the mic and I began speaking, I heard myself in a very polite, genuine, non-accusing way explain that is not what A Course in Miracles says. Here is what A Course in Miracles says. Right? And again, you want to remember, if you can, that this is not coming from me. But it is coming from additional clarity, additional openness. In fact, what you could say is, it is coming from less me. It's coming from less me. And yet, at the same time, I want to tell you there is still me here. I still see it. In fact, I think one thing that happens as there becomes less and less you is you actually see where you haven't let go even more clearly than before. It's like when there were a million clouds, you didn't notice them. But now that there's only a few, boy, do you notice them. You say, oh, yeah, I see that there. In fact, I used to wonder, masters who seemed so elevated to me would write, like if you read their writings, their poetries, they talk so much about how they're, you know, failing. I'll use that word, how they're failing. And I think, how can someone so clear be so focused on what they're not doing right? Well, I understand that now, because where you're not yet letting go becomes so friggin' obvious, right? To you. And you become so focused on those last clouds that you may sound like to others who don't understand that you're being hard on yourself, but you're not being hard on yourself. You're going through a natural process of awakening. Another way that you can tell, if you want to, that I've gone through a shift is that I am becoming stricter with myself. And again, those words sound like I'm being hard on myself, but it's not. It's loving. It's true desire, right? It's coming from the clarity, from the cloudless sky, from the still pendulum. I do not want to waste my time. I do not want to watch TV. I do not want to read novels. I do not want to do any work that I do not have to do. I want to meditate and contemplate and go within more than I did before, more, more, more. So hopefully that answered your question, Dove. In other words, when you let go of you, the general you, when you let go of you, your body will still do things, but that is not pushing the pendulum. And each one must be honest with his or herself if they want to do this in a genuine way. And when you know it's coming from you, when you're the one who wants to do it, don't do it. Because you're going to push the pendulum and you're going to get an equal and opposite result. Instead, do nothing. And if you do nothing, in spite of all of the screaming that's happening in your mind that this has to be taken care of, if you do nothing, the corrective absolute goodness will take care of things for you. And some of your clouds will clear away. And the more you do nothing, the more that will happen. And the more you do nothing, the more that will happen. And soon there will be a clarity, an openness that you cannot miss, that you know was not a part of the person's experience before. And a lot of moving and a lot of talking may begin to happen. And you know none of it's coming from you, but others may not understand. All right, that's it. I'll release the mic and we'll meditate on Tuesday. At least that's when I'll be back for meditation. Bye. Yeah, blue skies equal unlimited clarity. Perfect. Thank you.